That's kind of conversation between the soul. That's conversation between the soul and the night.
Prestige heads, and welcome to American Prestige. I'm Danny Bessner, here as always with my friend and comrade Derek Davison, and we're very excited to welcome back to the podcast today for the final episode of our series on Christian Zionism, Daniel Hummel. Daniel is the director of the Lumen Center in Madison, Wisconsin, and a research fellow in the history department at the University of Wisconsin, Madison, and he's also, of course, the author of The Rise and Fall of Dispensationalism, How the Evangelical Battle Over the End Times Shaped the Nation. Dan, thanks for joining us, man.
Yeah, glad to be with you again.
So last time, we kind of got to the end of the George W. Bush administration, but I think it might be worth actually reminding listeners about this group that was founded in 2006 and became very influential, and that is Christians United for Israel, or CUFI for short. So, Dan, who were they again, and why do we need to know about them going forward?
Right. So, Christians United for Israel, founded in 2006 by John Hagee, a person we talked about last time, a megachurch pastor down in San Antonio, Texas, who had been in the pro-Israel advocacy world for many decades, but Christians United for Israel is sort of his magnum opus, his big accomplishment. And this is the first single-issue advocacy group on pro-Israel evangelical advocacy that is founded, that basically becomes the major game in town. Up until this point, as we talked about last time, there were a lot of different competing organizations. Many of those organizations had a domestic policy as well as a foreign policy element to them, groups like the Moral Majority or the Christian Coalition. Christians United for Israel comes around and really focuses attention on supporting Israel from a Christian perspective and grows really quickly because of that focus. So it's founded in 2006. By 2008, it's got 1 million members. And today it claims to have between 9 and 10 million members. And so that, if you just think about, that is basically close enough to the size of the entire American Jewish population in the United States. And that is the number of people that CUFI claims to represent in its advocacy. And so Hagee is a Pentecostal Christian. So a lot of the membership of CUFI comes out of the Pentecostal world. But it is also...
Dan, for those of us who were raised in the tri-state area, in the outer boroughs, could you describe what makes Pentecostalism, this the major features of it that we need to understand the story you're telling?
Yeah, that's right. Thanks for the reminder. In broad sense, we use this term evangelical, and that can either be a broad tent or a narrower tent. If you made it a narrower tent, there'd be basically three groups within what we use in the broad term evangelical, and that would be fundamentalists, evangelicals, and Pentecostals. And they all share a very conservative view of sort of biblical authority and the inerrancy of the Bible, you could say. And they all believe in the literal miracles of the Bible and things like that. Pentecostalism comes around in the early 20th century as a new movement that particularly emphasizes the power of the Holy Spirit in daily life and in the ability to heal and make Christians prosper. And so Pentecostalism tends to focus on sort of supernatural signs like speaking in tongues. That's a very distinctive part of Pentecostalism. Also the idea that God can sort of healing. Many of the revivalists of the 20th century, people like Oral Roberts, had Pentecostal influences, and they had healing services where they claimed to heal people from ailments. That tends to be a more Pentecostal practice more than an evangelical or fundamentalist practice. And then maybe in more recent years, Pentecostalism has been the seedbed of prosperity theology. So this idea that God wants you as an individual to prosper, and that he will, if you do the right things, if you give the money to the right people, that God will bless you materially. And this actually ties into the pro-Israel advocacy, because people like John Hagee link up this prosperity teaching with the idea that one of the things God really wants you to do is to bless Israel. And by blessing Israel, you will be blessed. This is from Genesis 12:3. This is a verse in the Bible that is being sort of pulled out and used all over the place. But God basically saying, to Abraham, I will bless those who bless you and I will curse those who curse you. And Hagee takes that verse as pretty literal and says, God will supernaturally bless your life if you support Israel. So this is the type of Christianity that is very popular in Kufi circles. And it's also the type of Christianity that's booming across the globe. Pentecostalism is what is the most popular type of Christianity in the global South. And we can get to that later, but there's a massive constituency of Christian Zionism outside of the global North as well. And most of it is in this Pentecostal variety.
Thanks for that quick theology lesson, Dan. I'll take it to the grave. So let's talk now about what was actually going on in the U.S.-Israel relationship, end of the George W. Bush administration, beginning of the Obama administration.
Right. So, Obama comes in like many presidents and wants to solve the deep, intractable problems of the Middle East. He has a number of efforts to do that in 2009, 2010. And in his second term, you can think of the sort of John Kerry State Department as very invested in trying to move the Israel-Palestinian peace talks to some type of next level. Through all this, Kufi is growing in strength and in sort of its advocacy power. And there are two big issues, or at least there are two. There are at least two big issues that are happening during the Obama years that Kufi is involved in. One are these trying to get the peace talks restarted, or.